P division, code 41. P division, code 41.
The Ladder by Peter Turnbull. Dramatized by Stephen Mulryan. The Ladder.
Well, what do you think, Ray?
I think we could open a window for a start. Let some heat in.
It is cold, isn't it?
Yeah.
Clinical.
Normal circumstances, I'd be admiring that lawn. Perfect green stripes, but here.
I know. Now, my guess is that we're looking at a double murder.
Not missing persons? I mean, it could be some last-minute deal. 14 days in Tenerife, bring your own lighter.
Not these people. Not with that lawn. And a house full of clocks, all spot on BST. Now, I know policemen aren't supposed to listen to voices, Ray, but I'm feeling murder in this place.
Yeah, me too, sir. Think it's a son?
What, going for our brains? No, you mean Paolo? Yes, I'd think so. He's in his 20s, isn't he? That would make them about 40 when he was born.
I believe he was adopted, at least according to the housekeeper. He reckons they got him when he was about 5.
You've interviewed this housekeeper?
Yes, sir. He lives in a cottage in Dunlop, and there's a gardener and a cleaning lady. They live off the premises as well. Jack and Ellie's are very private people.
Yes, obviously. So when were the last seen?
Thursdays so far. The cleaning lady comes on Thursdays and Mondays, and she couldn't get access this morning. So she phones Paolo, he turns up and finds all the doors and windows locked and calls the police. Tango Delta Foxtrot attended and got the son's permission to force entry.
And found nothing?
Just as you see, sir. Owner and his wife absent, doors all locked from the inside, nothing disturbed, apparently nothing missing.
Except the Jacanellis. Anything else?
Mr. Jacanelli's wallet still in his pocket and his wife's handbag downstairs on the settee in the drawing room. I think it smells like two-day-old fish.
Close up that window, Ray, and we'll go outside. I don't think I can light my pipe in here. Apart from procedure, it's giving me the creeps. I wonder which room he did it in.
Well, he's got plenty to choose from. And if he did it on Thursday, 3 full days to tidy up afterwards.
I take it he'll be in line to inherit all this and the business, plus whatever's in the bank and the inevitable holiday home, etc.
Aye, not bad, sir, at 20-something.
Uh-huh. He's your prime suspect, Ray.
You'll do for now, sir.
That son's ready to begin the sweep, sir.
Good.
I'm not sure what you're looking for, but you'll know it when you see it. Once you've swept the grounds, have a look at the house. Start in a cellar and work up. Every room, every cupboard, till you reach the rafters. You know the drill.
Very good, sir. Right, lads. Let's get started.
It's like the Marriage Celeste, that house. What are their names again, these two?
Jack and Ellie, sir. Giulio and Rona.
Mm-hmm.
He's second generation Italian. Both came from Paisley. Paisley buddies and proud of it. Made his pile in the restaurant business. Siena Vita. He's not ultra classy, but good enough for an expensive kind of dinner. Or so I gather from the cleaning lady. She's back home now, but I've sent WPC Willems to interview him, if that's all right.
Oh, of course, sir. So you think Jacanelli is well enough set up? Hasn't been dipping his fingers?
Not as far as we know.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ray. Time to quiz people.
"20 years. I've kept house for Mr. and Mrs. Jacanelli for 20 years. Started just before Paolo came.
That's their son?
Actually, he wasn't called Paolo then. It's some daft name that reminded me of cowboy films. Shane, that was it. They changed it once the adoption was finalised. He was a right wee Turk. Came out of Fergusley Park, what they call Figgy, I believe. I mind him walking into the house and looking up at the staircase and asking, how many folk live up there? They thought it was funny. Sugar?
Just milk, thank you.
Aye, he was wild right enough. I've never believed in hitting wains, but a skelp wouldn't have gone amiss with him. Aye, I knew he'd turn out for the bad, but I never thought he'd do this.
Do what, Mrs. Fulton?
Well, he's done away with them, hasn't he?
What makes you say that?
Oh, aye, you're wise to play your cards close to your chest, I know that. I'm maybe only a wee cleaning woman, but I've got eyes and ears. I've heard and seen plenty over the years, and this chest of mine's had enough pain for 10 lifetimes, let me tell you. I've buried my parents. Well, you expect to do that. I've buried my man. I've had to bury my son and daughter-in-law as well, and my wee grandson. That's sore. You can believe that.
I'm sure I do, Mrs.
A motor accident.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Aye, money hasn't come easy either down the years. I've got my possessions, my furniture. You need your own things round you. And I've got my sideboard still in my dining room suite and my wedding china.
You have a lovely home, Mrs. Fulton.
Aye. I wouldn't care to ask you into my bedroom. It's a wee bit Spartan. The cottage itself's not mine. A private factor. The rent's fair, I suppose. But it'll be repossessed when I'm away. Anyway, what I wanted to say... You see, all those years ago, when Mr. and Mrs. Jack and Ellie dug back into their roots in Paisley and took a wee boy off the streets, I had the sense then that they'd taken somebody into their house that would destroy them one way or another. You could see it in his eyes, a damaged wee lad, that hunted look, a survivor, you know what I mean? I mind seeing the same look in my man's eyes when he came back from the war. He was never right afterwards. But that Paolo was a 5-year-old, barely school age. I mean, what had he seen? Well, you never know, do you?
And the Giaconellis had no children of their own?
No, they couldn't have any. They came from Paisley. They wanted to adopt a boy from Paisley to carry it all on after them. So they got in touch with the welfare people, and that's when Paolo arrived.
Mm-hmm. So, how would you describe the relationship between Paolo and his parents?
Stormy. Aye, that about sums it up. And that was their marriage as well.
Not a happy household, then?
Far from it. I used to love coming back here to my own house after a day's work up there. Aye, they spent a small fortune in his education. Sent him to that school in Edinburgh. Fetties, is it? Didn't alter him. I thought it would knock the pudding out of him, but it didn't. He came back even more full of himself. Smooth with it. Started calling me Betty. And looking down his nose at me. More tea yet? Forgotten your name, dear.
It's Elka. Elka Willems. No, thanks.
You're not married. At least I don't see a ring.
No.
You've got someone, though.
Yes?
That's good. You shouldn't leave it too late, though, especially a woman. Measure 7 times and cut once.
Sorry?
I heard that off a Russian woman once. About picking men.
Measure 7 times and cut once.
Aye.
I remember that.
You're a bonny looking woman. Scandinavian, is it?
My father's Dutch. Married a Scots girl. Anyway, you were telling me about Paolo. Did he live at the house?
No. He's got a cottage. About 10 minutes away if you're driving. He's had it for about 4 years.
Rented?
No. Bought for him. Paolo wanted it, so he got it. Same as he got his air rifle so as he could persecute the cats.
Same as he got his high five when he got up a bit.
And does he visit the house?
Oh, aye, often. When he's looking for something. Usually ends up a fight.
And what did they fight about, do you know?
Money. Always money. He can't get enough of it.
Aye, the problems really started when he was 17 and came back from his posh school. It was rows on a daily basis then. A two-seater car kept him happy for about a week. Then they eventually bought him the cottage. They found him a job in the company as well. A familiar story. His father, Mr. Giaconelli, he's had to work his way up the ladder. Paolo just flung the furniture about till he got what he wanted.
So, a house divided.
Oh aye, that all right.
Ah. Now, you're a waste of time, son.
Aye?
There's nothing in that scrub. I mean, I could follow the track of folks in this garden. If somebody had buried bodies down there, I'd know it.
Yeah, I dare say. It's procedure, though, yeah, as laid down by Holmes.
Holmes? Who's Sherlock?
Home Office Local Major Inquiry System. It's a computer model. Supposed to standardise all police investigation procedures in the UK.
Right.
Uh-huh. Whenever there's a disappearance in suspicious circumstances, Holmes comes into play. It's very specific. And in all fairness, the majority of murder victims are concealed in their own homes, or they're buried in the garden, or encased in concrete under the floorboards, that kind of thing. So it pays to be thorough. I'm sure you're right about your garden, but we have to check it. Every inch.
Oh, well, at least you've got a fine day for it.
So you've worked here for 30 years?
Aye. Worked for a family called Kerr.
Uh-huh.
Then when they sold up, the Giaconellis kept me on. Uh-huh. Oh, it's a quiet enough life, healthy, steady wages. The Giaconellis leave me to go on with it. As long as the garden was kept right. No. Of course, you can always tell when your garden hasn't been working.
So you didn't have a lot of direct contact with the family?
No. Not all like poor Betty Fulton there. I mean, she's in amongst us.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. What do you mean?
The screaming and the shouting. I can hear it from down the ear.
Mm. So what happened this morning?
Well, I was here at the shed by about 8:30. Betty came down and said she couldn't get an answer to the door.
Mm-hmm.
That would be about 9:00. She thought it was funny, you know, cars were in the drive, they hadn't said anything going anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
She said she'd phoned Paolo for a call box, and when I come up, and then we had a car and a gravel. And she says that'll be Paolo.
Mm-hmm.
So we went up to the house. Paolo has a look at the door, says there's still a key in it. So, well, we thought they must still be inside. That was the same with the front door as well.
Key in the lock.
Aye. So Paolo says we should call the police. Anyway, your chaps came and forced the window.
Right.
And looked like there was nothing out of place, nothing had been touched, so the police stayed. Paul and Betty went home, and well, I came down here to set my stump, just as you see me. I come here when I've got things to ponder, if you know what I mean.
Uh-huh. You got things to ponder?
Oh, I could be a job.
What do you reckon?
Oh, aye. It's what's the expression? It's sort of a character, son.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, maybe they'd go off separately, but no both of them. And no for a long weekend. It's not a character.
Mm-hmm. I see. Did you have much to do with the son, Paolo?
No.
You didn't like him?
No, I didn't like him when he first came, and I don't like him now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what's happened to Giaconelli's, but if it's full play, he's at the back here, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
I went to be in his garden one time. You can do mine, he says. They want the payment of pleas, even. I mentioned it to Mr. Giaconelli, and he just waved, you know, like the Italians do.
Right.
Forget it, he says, forget it, let him do it himself. He can do one thing himself, he says. Oh, I've sure got under my skin, I'm telling you. He was down here a couple of weeks ago, asking about weed colour.
Mm-hmm.
Aye, he was asking me what I was using.
All right. And what did you tell him?
Paraquat, tell him it was dangerous. One spoonful and a cup of water, you end up coughing your stomach out of your body. And it says a common form of suicide among farm labourers.
Right.
It's good for murder, then, he says. He was laughing. I don't think he was joking.
He said that? It's good for money.
Aye, aye. Actually, it isn't any good at all. It tastes foul. But it's fine for suicide. Then he was doing here last... Wednesday last day, looking for a saw. A good woodman's saw he was after. Mm-hmm. I lent him mine, put a new blade in it for him. I use it for the roses. An old rose stems as hard as any wedge you'll find.
Oh, I know that from own experience.
I think I lent him would cut through anything.
Uh-huh. He still got it?
No. Oh, see, he hasn't returned it. See, that was a problem with Paolo. Jack and Ellie's let him away with too much. I mean, if you want a healthy growth, son, you've got to do some cutting back. Right.
There's nothing in the ground, sir. Nothing of interest in the undergrowth here that we can see.
Right, Sergeant, thank you. If you'd like to make a start in the house now.
Very good, sir. Right, lad.
It's a sad day, this. I gave my life to this gal. When they work for me now, not my age. But ain't for Betty Fulton either. Now, yeah, I don't think we would have worked for Paolo. Or his brother coming out.
Why, she's probably got a brother.
No, Mr. Jack and Nelly's got a brother. He's a very lazy agent. Met him once. To think he might inherit this lot. But he's sick.
Malcolm, can you hear me?
Yeah?
Listen, do you take cornflakes or what? Just coffee?
Coffee's fine.
There's a packet of disposable razors in the cabinet. You might find them a bit delicate for your stubble.
No, they'll do fine, hen. I'll leave the one I use aside. Thanks.
I'll keep it for you. For next time, okay?
Yeah, sure. I really appreciate this. I didn't think I'd be staying the night.
You could have fooled me.
Oh?
You know what I mean. It's your manner. Just the way you...
I know. It's a real handicap.
Yeah, and I should have listened to my mother. So what time do you finish work?
Oh, whenever. I'm on duty 10 in theory, but it depends on the situation. You think a woman's work's never done? Try the police. One of our guys last week, fairly new, finishes a night shift at 6, and he's asked to attend a situation that's just come in. Well, he volunteered, but you know what I mean. Anyway, he's on that until midday. He's told to attend the case conference. That wraps at 2, so he's doing a full extra shift. And he's back on night shift again at 10.
I get the feeling you're trying to tell me something. Will I see you after 10?
Sure. You haven't got a spare toothbrush.
I'm looking pleased with yourself. I know I don't want to hear about it.
What do you take me for? I like that. Happiness is an empty pigeonhole.
Well, not for long. I think Donoghue wants to see us.
How do you mean, think? Like you've just got a feeling about it?
No, you're a big clown. He's just buzzed through. I told him we were on our way.
Well, I'm on 10. I'm not. What is it anyway?
Something down in Ayrshire. Double missed pairs. It's had everybody hopping all morning, apparently.
Right then, Richard. Let's hop.
No money problems. A bit of strain in the marriage by all accounts, but nothing out of the ordinary. However, they've been missing now since Thursday, when they were last seen. We forced entry to the house this morning. Keys still in the locks. Inside the house.
Montgomery, do I have your undivided attention?
Sir. Of course. Unfortunately with you, it's not an of-course question. Anyway, we're taking this very seriously, given the circumstances. Ray Sussex and I both had an odd feeling about the house. It felt as if something had happened there.
I don't know if either of you understand what I mean.
I think so, sir.
Yeah. I remember when I was about 18 or so, going to a party in some address in the West End, and walking into the close, I just got a weird sensation about the place. Just something's happened here, as you've said. Then a couple of days later, I was watching a school's programme on TV. It turns out this was the locus of a particularly violent murder in the 1890s or something.
Yes, well, anyway. Ray Sussex has an educated nose for these things, and when he says he can sense murder, I'll believe him.
Do we have a suspect, sir?
Yes. Prime suspect appears to be one Paolo Giaconelli, the couple's adopted son. By all accounts, spoiled rotten after they pulled him out of honest poverty. I don't want to move on him too soon, though. I'd like more information about both him and the family. Plenty of time. We're only 6 hours into the investigation.
So it's still early doors, sir.
Montgomery, this is a potential homicide, not a football match.
Sir.
Anyway, I've some work for you two. DC King, you can interview the Giaconelli's managing director. They've an office down in the Merchant City. Just test the water, see what you can find out.
Very good, sir.
And DC Montgomery, you can take yourself down to Ayrshire. Paolo Giaconelli has a cottage near Dunlop. Just a wee chat with him, and don't lean on him, no leading questions, okay? If he's got half a brain, he already knows he's the number one suspect, but just take the measure of the man. Something tells me he'll talk more easily with you than with King or D.C. Abernethy. And I'm not sure that's a compliment.
I think Giaconelli just picked a name out of a hat. Rhymeton Limited. Bit too English for my liking. He didn't want his own name in the letterheads or anything. Wanted the fortune, but he could do without the fame. Shrewd man, shrewd.
So tell me about Rhymeton.
Oh. Well, what do you want to know? It's been with them for 30 years, you know. Just about. See, when I started, he already had 10 restaurants in the greater Glasgow area. Biggest and best in Paisley, of course. There's this thing about being a Paisley buddy. The Italian guy drives him. Red Alfa Romeo and his wife's got a pink one. They call themselves Paisley buddies. God, that kills me, so it does kills me.
What's he like to work for?
The short answer, he's a bastard. I don't get a pension after all this, you know. Near 50 years with him, and I'm on the rock pile at 65, if I make it. Anyway, you want to know about the company. Well, the first executive decision Giaconelli made after I joined was actually to stop standardising all the premises. Mm-hmm. That sounds funny, I know, but he decided they should all look as if they're all one-off family businesses. Like, instead of rotating staff, for instance, you'd keep them all in the same place, so each restaurant would build up its own atmosphere and its own regular punters, you see?
Sounds like a smart move. Do you think we could close that window?
Sure. Oh, a smart move, all right. Do you know what he did then?
Surprise me.
Nothing. He did absolutely nothing. Just sat back in his arse and got very, very rich. You know, if he wasn't a human being, he'd be a weasel, or even a rat, worse. 30 years he's had off me, Mr. King, and it's been my effort that's turned Giaconelli's thousands into millions. He just happened to own it. And then after about 15 years, he turns the whole lot over to me. I'll give you what a school teacher gets, he says. That's how he fixed my salary. What the teachers get, I get. Only I don't get 10 weeks paid leave every year. I don't get statutory sick pay. I don't get a pension. And my salary is linked to a primary teacher's, by the way, not secondary.
You sound like an angry man, Mr. Yule.
You're kidding. Anyway, it's a job. Giaconelli's gone. Paolo will take over, and that's me. Whole thing will fold in 18 months, maybe. I'm 55 years old. I've got 3 daughters at the university, for God's sake. And that pal's got no nose. He's got no... what's the word? Acumen. Yes, acumen. Look, I want employment just until my daughters are off my hands. After that, I can go back to pieces and jam if I have to.
So what about Paolo?
Why, weasel number two. He's been coming in here the past few weeks, you know, looking at the books.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, yes. Getting very interested in the size of Daddy's empire, his young Paolo. Want to know what it's all worth, what he's lying for.
So how much is it worth?
Oh, depends how you look at it. Paolo's worth nothing. He'll die in poverty, same as he came for. We told him at work here, you know. Did more harm than good. We ended up paying him to stay out the road. And I hear he'll wind up like Giaconelli's brother.
Didn't know Giaconelli had a brother.
Ah, twin, would you believe? Stays in Govan somewhere. Mm. May as well be in another planet. Name's Giuseppe. Well, it looks like his brother, but that's where the resemblance ends. Lazy. I mean, really bone idle, that man. Doesn't start with thinking as the whole cheese, though.
You don't like him either, then?
No, tell you the truth. Though I'd rather see him in the business than Paolo. Oh, I can just hear that, you know. Can't use you anymore, George. Here's a month's salary. Thanks for all you've done over the last 30 years, but I'm taking over.
and then he'd sell it off bit by bit for the cash.
What sort of cash, would you say?
It's a going concern. Oh, sell out any of the big hotel chains for maybe around 5-6 million. Here, look, you do think we could have that window back open? I mean, this heat's going for me.
Well, we've not much more, Mr. Yule. When did you last see the Jackanellis?
Oh, I don't know. It was Thursday, possibly Friday. Mr. Jackanelli looked in one of those days. Just for a second, of course.
Mr. Yule, could I have a note of your address? Just in case we need to get in touch again.
Aye. 56 Connersbury Road, Easter House.
Easter House?
That's right. Not bad for the managing director of a company worth 6 million, is it, eh? 3-apartment council flat, travel to work in the 41 bus, read the Financial Times while I'm at it. Do you mind if I ask a question, Mr. King?
Go ahead.
It's for the legal position. I mean, what happens if the Jackanellis don't turn up? I mean, if they're dead, and their bodies aren't found.
Well, as far as I understand, they'll be presumed dead if their bodies haven't been found within 2 years, and at that point their estates can be disposed of under the terms of their will. The insurance companies won't pay out, though, unless they see a death certificate, and they don't get issued without a body. So if you commit murder for the life insurance, you need to make sure the body's found, and that suits us just fine. Dead men tell plenty of tales. Anyway, why do you ask?
I'm anxious for my job, Mr. King. Means I've got maybe 2 years before that spoilt idiot puts me out to grass. It's not enough. It's not enough to see my daughters off.
You wouldn't benefit in any way yourself from Mr. Jackanelli's death.
No chance. I mean, he did once say that he'd see me all right, but he was miraculous at the time. People say anything in drink. No, I don't reckon to benefit. Not me.
You don't mind if we sit out here, Mr. Montgomery? I'm doing some whitewashing, as you can see.
No, that's fine.
Lemonade okay?
Yeah, thanks.
So, what do you want to know? You'll be speaking to George, I suppose.
Oh, speaking to everybody.
You can take the kid out of the ghetto, but you can't take the ghetto out of the kid. I dare say he'll lay that one on you.
I dare say he will.
Well, no matter what he says, Mr. Montgomery, everything was in place before he joined my father's company. It was my father that built it, took all the risks and decisions. All George had to do was keep it supplied. I mean, if the business was a motor car, George could take no credit for its design or construction. He was the chap who made sure it didn't run out of fuel or lubricant. If my father was Mr. Royce of Rolls-Royce, George Yule was the petrol pump attendant. You try telling him that. Oh, I dare say the man knows the business inside out, but if he went, he could be replaced. Plenty of white-collar dolies around.
So, your parents, when did you last see them?
Thursday? Yeah, called the house on Thursday.
What sort of relationship did you have with your parents?
As good as any, I expect. Has its highs and lows, you know. Is this an interrogation?
No. Should it be? I'm just asking you how you got along with your parents. What would an observer say?
How would I know? Ask the observer.
I will do that.
Well, if you want the truth, no, things weren't all that great. They won't let me forget my roots. Same as George Yule and Mrs. Fulton. They can't ever forget what they did for me, the big rescue operation. Yeah, we had a few fights. Fights, rows, never came to blows. Raised the roof, though.
Yeah. So, I imagine you'll inherit a fair bit if your parents don't turn up and have to be presumed dead.
That's right. In 2 years, as I understand.
You've done some homework.
This is something I know. A chap at school lost his father. Lost at sea in a yacht, and it was 2 years before he could claim the property. Something sinister in that. Anyway, I'm in no hurry. I'm 25. There's a big world out there. I want to do some serious travelling. Meanwhile, I get an allowance and take an interest in the company. Oh, George can keep things ticking over till I get back, then I'll let him go. He can dig his allotment. They've got them in Easter House. Oh, watch the afternoon telly, racing from Chepstow. The business has got to move with the times, Mr. Montgomery. The staff are expensive, the food's expensive, the profit margins are thin. I reckon we could sell the whole kit for 5 or 6 million. Go into fast food outlets, corner sites of car parking, city centre sites. Cheap food, cheap staff, huge profits.
Well, that's some vision.
Parable of the talents, Mr. Montgomery. You remember it from Sunday school, don't you? One of my father's favourites, that. To him that hath shall be given, and to him that hath not shall be taken away, yea, even unto 10,000-fold. Very fond of using it in old Giuseppe. Yeah, his snowball rolled and his brother's didn't. You know, his brother still lives in Govan. Well, he's a life form in Govan, don't know if you'd call it living. Giulio and Giuseppe. Identical upbringing and opportunities. One went up the ladder, the other slid down the snake. The drink, of course.
Ah, I see. It's a familiar enough story. You don't happen to have Giuseppe's address?
I can give you it.
You know him well?
Oh, met him on a few occasions, that's all. They were twins, but not that close.
No, I gathered that.
You know, I really love this country in the summer. There's really no place like it.
Aye. As long as you're at liberty to enjoy it. Can I ask you what your movements were over the weekend, Mr. Giaconelli? As exact as you can make it.
Well, I've been here.
Alone?
That's right. All weekend. I walked down to the village on Saturday evening, had a pint, walked back once the bar started to fill up. You know, that point when you're touching too many elbows. Did the same pretty well Sunday lunchtime.
And that's it?
Yep.
And apart from the punters in the bar, you saw no other person over the whole weekend?
Nobody came to the cottage and I didn't visit anybody. Right, it's not much of an alibi, but it's the best I can do. Anyway, I don't need an alibi, since the burden of proof rests with you chaps. I don't have to prove I didn't do it. You have to prove I did.
Oh, I'm aware of that, Mr. Giaconelli. But it's also in your own interest not to invite suspicion.
I can cope with that.
Well, thanks for the lemonade. It was very refreshing. We'll keep in touch.
I'm sure you will. I'm not going anywhere, and do you know where I am? At home, whitewashing my cottage.
Yeah, nice stuff, whitewash. Makes a good impression. Just watch you don't fall off the ladder.
Do you think he could kill? He wouldn't be the first person to murder his boss.
No, sir, I don't think so. I mean, I suppose he has reason enough to strangle Giaconelli, with pleasure. But he struck me as the kind of man that needs his resentment, almost as a reason to live.
And if he did something about it, he'd lose that reason?
Possibly. He did say something about Giaconelli seeing him all right, but he didn't expand. I guess because Giaconelli didn't either. I think he expects maybe a few raindrops from Giaconelli's will, and the main deluge will fall on Paolo.
Montgomery, you got the impression Paolo wanted to hurry things along.
Yes, sir. He's impatient. And he knows he might have to wait another 20 years before the deluge, as Richard calls it. £6 million buys an awful lot of motivation. He had the entire weekend to do the deed, clean up any mess, and he's smart enough to know that without the bodies, it'll be hard to get a conviction. And he's public school educated, so he's not going to be intimidated by the police.
Been bullied by experts. So what do you reckon?
I don't know. A pre-dug grave in Caithness, maybe. Weighted bags a few hundred feet out into Loch Lomond. I really think we should lean on him.
Maybe. Anyway, it might interest you gentlemen to know that we've just taken a call from Sergeant Sussock. He's still at the locus for the scene of crime people. And we appear to have solved the mystery of the locked door.
Oh?
The fire escape, apparently. At least that's the gardener's helpful contribution. The fire escape is accessed via the attic, a metal ladder basically attached to the rear wall of the house, with the bottom 20 feet or so retractable.
I see. So you climb down the escape till you get to the retractable section, release it, and make your getaway.
Well, normally it's retracted after a drill, and because it's never been used in anger, as it were, somebody climbs back up it and pulls the bottom section up after them, then hooks it onto the fixed section. Are you with me, Montgomery?
Yes, sir. All the way.
Anyway, Ray Sussock noticed the fire escape, but thought nothing of it because it was in the retracted position.
Yes, sir. I'm not sure I follow.
Well, the solution appears to be a pair of ordinary stepladders kept round the back of the garage and usually chained.
I think I can see what's coming.
Yes. The chain's gone, and the ladders have been moved, going by tracks left in the grass that gardener's eagle eye, it seems. So, our boys at the locus used these steps to access the fire escape and check out the retaining hooks and so on, which were pretty well rusted, and found that they had been disturbed, probably within the last few days. Was that what you had in mind, Montgomery?
Pretty close, sir.
So, does that mean he did the murders in the house, carried the bodies outside, presumably to a vehicle, then went back in and locked all the doors from inside, and then left by the fire escape. It's like some sort of game.
Yes. And it's a further pointer, I think, to Paolo Giaconelli. It would take very detailed knowledge of the house to figure all that out, and from what you say, Montgomery, it sounds like his style. However, I'm beginning to feel curious about Mr. Giaconelli's underachieving brother. How was it your chap described him? The man with the stuck snowball?
Mr. Giaconelli? Police, take the Sergeant Sussex. I'd like a word with you about your brother.
But you'll need to be quick. I'm due to collect the wage for a swing park.
You watch TV a lot, then? Never off. Now take that seat if it's going to bother you. That's a wife's chair. Kids sit in the settee when they visit. I thought they were at the swing park. That's a grand wage. I'm watching them.
Do you think you could turn it down a bit, Mr. Giaconelli?
Okay.
Thanks. Well, I've called about your brother, as I said. He's disappeared, and there are indications of suspicious circumstances.
Oh, tell me. Do you know of anybody who'd want to harm your brother? He's a businessman. Goes with the territory, doesn't it? You don't get where he is taking prisoners or passengers. Aye, that's what he called me, you know. His ain't twin brother. Asked him for a partnership. He'd only 3 restaurants at a time. Plenty of work in front of him. I don't need passengers, he said. Do you think that's fair? It's not for me to say. Mr. Giaconelli. Sorry? I'd like you to call me Mr. Giaconelli.
Oh, you would?
You would. Mr. Giaconelli.
Okay. Since we're looking for information, Mr. Giaconelli.
That's better. And it's not as if I benefit any of it, I will. I'm a signatory, you know. I mean, I've witnessed this signature with mine. And if you do that, you don't inherit it, right?
That's my understanding, Mr. Giaconelli.
Got a couple of thousand for that. Big deal.
So who does benefit from the will, Mr. Giaconelli?
Who? Who do you think?
Having a clue. Mr. Giaconelli.
Having a clue. That's rare. So it is. The police hasn't a clue. Well, I'll tell you, it's that Paolo creature, Mr. Smoothie, and that guy George Yule. Him and Paolo divide it equally. Oh, the wife, Rona, she gets the big house and whatever's in the bank. There's plenty there to see her out, I can tell you. And Paolo and Yule get the company.
And do they know this? Does Yule know he's going to inherit half the company? Mr. Giaconelli.
Of course he knows. He knows because my brother told him. Mind you, he was half cut at the time, otherwise he wouldn't have said anything. And I'm not sure Yule believed him. Anyway, it must have been in the back of Yule's mind he was in for something, for all the good it would do him.
How do you mean?
You're forgetting, aren't you?
Mr. Giaconelli.
Well, Yule's in his 50s, isn't he? He could be well retired by the time my brother snuffs it. Julie and me, we're only in our 60s. Could live to 80, 90 even. Yule wants his share of the company while he's still got a puff to enjoy it. See what that spilt idiot, Paolo. He's the one to wait till he's middle-aged. They both want it now, if you ask me. See what I mean?
Detective Sergeant?
Huh? Oh, aye. You see what I mean? Detective Sergeant.
You're in early. What, 9:30?
Aye, I suppose I could have walked, but a bus came, so I jumped it. I think it was obeying a whim. Certainly not a schedule. God, have you seen this? Please write on both sides of the paper and make all calls in off-peak time where possible.
Yeah, and they're firing out a bit of paper to each cop in the division to tell us that. Is that hypocrisy or what?
So, DC King, what's cooking?
Usual. Burglaries and joyriders, so-called. More like death riders. The big one is 2 people disappeared. Donahue and Ray Sussex think there's a code 41 in it somewhere, but so far there's no bodies. A restaurant owner and his lady wife.
Yeah, I heard that on the radio. Sounds like it could be a long haul. You fancy a coffee?
Nah, I won't sleep if I do, thanks. And I'm getting home in time tonight for once, all written up and everything.
Yeah, well, spare a thought for us poor night shifters.
Oh, hey, we all take our turn, Tony lad, we all take our turn. Oh, and who knows, this will maybe brighten up your night. That'll be for DC Abernethy's attention, Elka. I'm clocking off.
Cheers. Nice one.
This is a message just in, Tony.
Member of the public insists on talking only to CID and wouldn't say what it was about.
Well, did he give any name?
A Commander Brill, I think. He's coming in person, driving up all the way from Dunlop, he says.
Dunlop?
Uh-huh, that's what I thought. So I didn't try to squeeze any more information out of him on the phone. Said he didn't want to speak to junior ranks anyway, and the implication was especially not female junior ranks.
No, God forbid. Well, obviously you better put a pot of coffee on for, what's his name again?
Commander Brill.
Yeah, and don't forget to salute when you bring it in.
Yes, it was the dog that alerted me.
The dog?
My Labrador, out for a stroll. He's a black dog, you see. He suffers in the heat, so in summer we take our walk at night. Came across a motor vehicle, doors open. Raffles got agitated, so I had a shifty. And there they were. Still are. Beginning to hum, actually. Been there a few days, I'd say. Legs stiffening, rising up off the floor of the van.
And where is this van, sir?
Well, about half a mile outside of Dunlop. The B706, Meath Road, a track on the right, about a couple of hundred yards down, in a stand of trees. I believe it was there on Friday.
On Friday? Did you see it?
I can't be sure. Caught a glimpse of it from the road, I think. It's possible some local lads have had a go at it. The windows have been smashed and the doors forced. Probably took fright and scarpered when they saw what was in it. Well, anyway, if you want a statement, I'll be happy to oblige.
Well, I think I'll send a mobile unit out first to check, Commander, if you don't mind waiting.
Oh, of course, of course. First things first. I might be some sort of crank, for all you know.
I'll have some coffee, thank you.
Splendid, splendid.
Dr. Reynolds.
Sergeant Susser. Ill met by moonlight, eh? Oh, see you've been busy.
Well, that's the local force, Doctor. We had the generator and the lamps in place before I got here.
And this was reported, what, 3 hours ago?
Yeah, it's local resident. Drove all the way up to Glasgow to tell us about it. It's possibly been here since Friday.
Yeah. Why, it's going in a state of putrefaction. I don't want to move the bodies till your people are finished, but I can't see any obvious injuries. Doesn't look like suicide, though. Not the two of them.
Left like this.
No pipe from the exhaust either.
No. I'm presuming it's murder. There's been no attempt to conceal it. The fuel grew out of the road just outside the village. I'm only surprised it's taken 3 days to be reported.
I take it you've a good idea who they are.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. This is Mr. and Mrs. Jackanelli, late of Dunlop in a very prosperous restaurant chain.
And from the state of it, this obviously isn't one of their own vans. Anyway, I'll go on ahead to the GRI, Sergeant, and if you'll ship the bodies up, I'll start the post-mortem as soon as you arrive.
Would it be possible to delay the post-mortem, sir, till the bodies have been formally identified?
Oh, yes, of course, if it'll help you.
Well, Mr. Jackanelli is a twin brother in Govan, and I think we could get him into the GRI quickly. A rapid ID is always an advantage.
Well, never scorn an advantage, Sergeant Susser.
What does he do? Do they wheel about here?
No, Mr. Jackanelli. If you're ready, they'll draw back a curtain.
Aye, okay.
Now, sir, is that your brother Giulio Jackanelli and your sister-in-law Rona Jackanelli?
It is. That's right. They're a funny colour, but that's them.
You're sure about that? That is your brother, Mr. Jackanelli.
Well, you bothered him no upset?
Well, just a bit.
Well, why play games, eh? There was no love lost between me and Giulio. Being twins doesn't mean you had to like each other. And I'm in for a wee fortune. I'm not going to put on a long face, am I?
How do you work that out?
Mr. Jackanelli? Well, I'm just putting two and two together. The cop that brought me here, he said my brother had been found in a van near Dunlop, right? And that's where Paolo lives.
We're aware of that.
Well, I've told you you'll benefit from Giulio as well. It's him, Paolo, and Giorgio. They share it 50-50 eventually. Oh, but that's no use to them. They want it now.
So why should that make you happy?
Because you can't profit from a crime.
That's true enough.
And it's obvious, isn't it? Paolo and Giorgio murdered them to get their wee paws in the dosh. A conspiracy, isn't that it? To speed up the process.
It's been done before.
Ah, but they've been rumbled.
Nobody's been rumbled yet.
Matter of time. And so they get done for murder. And no matter what Julius Will says, they can't profit because they filled them in. So the company passes to the next nearest relative. That's me. And that's the law. So you're going to make an arrest at dawn, eh? What is it they call it? A swoop. And get Paolo and Yule.
Just hold your horses, Mr. Giaconelli. You can give us information, but don't tell us what to do.
Ah, right. So what time do they open the bars?
Oh, 8 o'clock. The ones with a breakfast licence open at 8 a.m.
Another couple of hours. Well, I can wait that long for a wee wait. I've been waiting all my life to get rich. Another couple of hours, nobody hurt me. Eh? What about solicitors? What time do they start work?
Yes, no other cause of death, I would say. They were both alive when their skulls were fractured. And the man sustained fractures to his left shoulder and arm as well. Probably one of the blows that damaged his watch. Well, that'll be very handy for you, Sergeant. Shows a time of 9:45. Well, it's an analogue display. You can't tell if that's AM or PM.
And how about the day, sir? I think we need to fix this one as accurately as we can. We don't have much else in forensic, apparently.
Oh, I'm aware of that, Sergeant. I can only give you my best estimate, as you know. In this case, that's got to be determined by the rate of putrefaction. Although we're both past middle age, not carrying much surplus fat, quite lean, in fact, which is a slowing factor, as is sudden death itself.
Really?
Oh, yes. Also, the lack of moisture in the closed van, warm and dry outside. Not exactly typical weather for these parts, but at least until the windows were smashed, they were being fairly well preserved.
No, it's never quite as straightforward as we'd like. I know that much. Is it possible to fix it within 24 hours? We really need to know what day we're talking about.
Well, let's say we're not completely in the dark. We've learned a few tricks. There's always a few scholars still burning the midnight oil, thankfully. Makes up for us artisans.
You found something?
Yes. Believe it or not, Sergeant, it's a wee beast called Caliphina erythrocephala that comes winging to the rescue.
Sorry?
The commoner garden blue bottle. Plenty of them about in the summer. And two huge lumps of fresh meat in a shady place. What could be better?
Well, not much, I suppose, if you take a blue bottle's eye view.
Exactly. See, our trouble as a species is we're far too anthropocentric. You don't fish by any chance?
Well, I have done now and again. Can't say I've ever had much luck.
Well, we might be doing a little better here. It's not a very pleasant thought, I know, but the van and its contents were like a bake shop larder.
Me maggots.
Oh, Sergeant Sussuck, I hope you don't pull a face like that when you're threading them onto your hook. I'll need to strike you off my list of agreeable fisher friends.
No, it's sea fishing I've done, Doctor. Nice, clean mussels.
Well, it depends on where you picked them. These days you half expect them to glow in the dark. Anyway, to return to our muttons, as the French say, there were eggs by the thousand on the exposed flesh and some under the clothing. And some of them are hatching into larvae. And the oldest are well into their final stage, so we're talking perhaps 4 days. It's now Tuesday a.m. I think I'd be prepared to stick my neck out and say the murders were committed on Thursday. 9:45 p.m. matters. That's my best guess, Sergeant Sussuck, and you've got the humble maggot to thank for that.
Wonders of modern science, eh?
Oh, there's actually a specialist in these days, forensic entomology, believe it or not. There's a very good book by a former Home Office pathologist, a man called Simpson. Everything you always wanted to know, but were too squeamish to ask. I'll lend it to you if you like.
No. I think I'll pass on that one, sir. Can you add anything to the circumstances of death? Time of death be a real bonus, but if there's anything else we should know.
Well, from the injuries sustained to the arm, as I've said, it's clear the man put up resistance. And I would imagine the woman had warning of the attack from that. Certainly she was struck from behind. Very likely she tried to escape. But what's more interesting from your point of view, I think, is the fact that there are some green stains on the clothing. Very obviously grass.
So they might have been attacked while they were sitting in the garden?
It's possible. That would tie in with what they were wearing, but I would describe as casual. Going no place in particular, not expecting visitors.
No, not that kind of visitor for sure. So that would also explain why we found no trace of violence in the house. No blood. Not so much as a doily out of place. Apart from the business with the fire ladder, we could have saved ourselves all the effort we've put into combing the house. The murderer wouldn't even have needed to ring the doorbell.
Well, it's speculation, of course. And it won't come out quite like that in my report. It never does, as you know.
No, I understand that. And I really do appreciate your going off the record.
Yes, it's not an unreasonable inference from such evidence as we've got. Mr. and Mrs. Giaconelli taking their ease, sitting in the garden, enjoying the warm evening. The bees buzzing, going off shift. Night-scented stock. A wee glass of chilled Frascati. We know not the day nor the hour, Sergeant, do we?
Mr. Giaconelli.
Mr. Montgomery.
What can I do for you?
I'm afraid I have some bad news for you.
No, you haven't. Giuseppe phoned me this morning about 9 o'clock. He was a fool, as they say in Ayrshire. Kept me on about solicitors. I know, but he would see him without an appointment.
And he told you why he wanted to see a solicitor?
Oh, yes. I gather my parents were found in the back of a van not too far from here.
Mr. Giaconelli, can you tell me where you were on Thursday last, between 9.30 and 10 p.m?
In the pub, I should think. Yeah, either that or else on my way home from the pub.
Any witnesses?
I suppose so. Plenty of people. It's a small bar. Doesn't mean to say I was noticed, though. So you're going to be charging both myself and George Yule with the murder?
Sorry?
Oh, that's what Giuseppe tells me. Nothing surer, he said.
No, I think that was rushing fences a wee bit.
I'm relieved to hear it.
We'd appreciate it if you'd stay close to home, though.
Oh, sure, sure. Wouldn't want to leave the whitewashing half done, would I?
Coleman!
Sir, that's a call from the desk sergeant over in M Division. The Leyland van details match a vehicle theft from a garage in Lint House.
Right, Elka. See if DC King's available. Tell him to get over there fast. When was the theft reported?
Thursday, sir. Taken off the garage forecourt the night before, apparently. The owner couldn't believe anybody would steal it.
We could tell him, couldn't we?
You see, the problem with this place is you can drive the motors right off. No wall around between you and the road.
And you'd left it out in the forecourt overnight?
Well, I don't have the room. I've got probably all my stocks sitting out here. I always have. And as you can see, these are going to be sitting out all night. Unless I get lucky and steal 14 motors or something. I'd take the rotor arms out as a road.
You didn't take the rotor arm out of this van?
Nah, I mean, I beat up Leland's ship on his things at 9 o'clock. Who's going to steal that? Silly question, eh?
I've heard sillier. But you did lock it.
Oh, it was locked. Got the keys in the office still. So anyway, you've found it down here for someplace, have you?
Yeah, it's sustained a wee bit of damage. Local Ned smashed the windows and forced the doors. It'll mend, but we'll have to keep it for a while, I'm afraid.
I thought it was worth a bother.
It's part of a bigger inquiry. Actually, to tell you the truth, I'm surprised you bought it.
It was a steal. I mean, the guy practically gave me it.
How do you mean?
This wee guy was desperate to sell it. God, he didn't take in for it. As it was, the money I gave him was bought around the drinks, and that's about it. You don't think he kept a set of keys and stole it back himself, eh? Maybe he does that whenever he's short of drink money.
You don't happen to have his details, do you?
Well, I'll have them somewhere. I can tell you the address off the top of my head, but I remember the name. It was Italian, you know. Something like Jack and Eddie or Jack and Ellie. Somewhere.
You know, Ray, if this case sticks in my mind, it'll only be because of that magnificent cold house and the amount of money involved. Otherwise, it's just another cheap, nasty murder committed by somebody that can't see past their own nose.
Certainly nasty.
Well, Montgomery and King should be lifting Giuseppe about now. If he's been hitting the breakfast bar since 8, he shouldn't give them any bother. If he's not too foo, I'll give you the pleasure of telling him his ship hasn't come in.
Aye. Going to the bottom, more like.
Well, finish your coffee, Ray. There's plenty of time.
And I presume we'll give Paolo and Yule the good news first, then the bad.
Oh? What's the bad news?
That Jack and Ellie's will prevents them splitting the company. They hate each other like poison, but he's got them roped together like Siamese twins.
Well, they'll find a way. As Montgomery said yesterday, $6 million buys an awful lot of motivation.
In The Ladder, the part of Detective Sergeant Ray Sussex was played by Jake Darcy. D.C. Abernethy by Andrew Conlon, and D.C. Montgomery by Frank Gallagher. D.I. Donahue was played by Crawford Logan. W.P.C. Elka Willems by Eliza Langland, and D.C. King by Liam Brennan. Dr. Reynolds was played by Gerard Slevin, the garage owner by Dave Anderson, and Mrs. Fulton by Kate Kearney. The gardener was Alexander Morton. Sarah, Astrid Wilson. Yule, Charles Kearney. Paolo, Richard Greenwood, and Giuseppe by Phil McCall. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The Ladder was written by Peter Turnbull, dramatised by Stephen Mulrine, and recorded on location in Glasgow and in our studios in Edinburgh. The director was Hamish Wilson.